And now Jesus comes and says, I am that shepherd. Lord in all caps. Now, beloved, that's incredible. Jesus had ways of saying things about himself that brought people off the fence. It's so nice to be able to be lukewarm, but see, Jesus wouldn't let that happen. Jesus never let that happen. Watch this. We don't read the Bible right. Watch this. We read the Bible. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. I'm the... Watch. I walk in front of you right now and I say this. Can you believe it? I am the way. No man comes unto God but by me. Now that is different than when, you know, we just read it in the Bible. It said, you know, just in that suite we read it in the Bible. But you see, it would have devastated us. And I'll tell you what. You see, Jesus didn't leave men where they could say, my, wasn't that pleasant? Wasn't he a fine chap? Wasn't that an interesting talk? When I teach the Bible, nobody ever leaves saying, wasn't that pleasant? You will leave loving God more and seeing that God loves you more than you ever dreamed, or you will hate me and God. And that's good. Because once you start hating, then all of a sudden you're out of religiosity and you see you really needed help. See, the hardest people to convince that they're lost are churchgoers.
Amen.
That aren't saved, but Amen. Go to church. And what has to happen is, see, they shouldn't feel comfortable. The sin of our churches today is lost people can go there for years and stay lost and feel good about it. Comfortable. 11 years I taught at the Baptist church and was a deacon and was lost and was comfortable. I knew the Bible better than all the saved people. And that's how I got to be a teacher. Now, I wasn't lost because I was a Baptist. I was a lost Baptist. And Jesus comes and says, now listen to me. Jesus says, listen. I have not come to tell you about the Good Shepherd. I have come to say that I am the Good Shepherd. Now, when he said that, a sword had been swung and a line was drawn. You know, Moses didn't understand it. Yahweh, you say, well, Floyd, what is Yahweh? What does Jehovah mean anyway? Moses didn't understand that either. You remember Exodus chapter 3, verse 14? At the burning bush? That was Jesus. He was talking to Moses there. And he says, I want you to go down and set the people free. You're kidding. I tried that 40 years ago. Nobody would follow me. Yeah, but that's because you tried it in your ability. But it's not by your power, not by your might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Moses has taken you 40 years to get where you'll never trust yourself to deliver anyone again. That you'll be terrified unless you know I'm with you. Boy, he learned the lesson. He never tried it in his own flesh again. Now that's beautiful, but it took him 40 years. You know how we pray? In 30 seconds, if God hadn't done it, we're defeated. And so Moses says, but wait a minute, Lord. I don't know who you are. What will I say? Who will I tell them sent me? And there God told us what Jehovah meant. He says, okay, I want you to tell them who I am. Tell them I am sent you. I am. Isn't that wonderful? But we don't know what that means. You know, Christians say, isn't that Jesus, isn't that great? He's the I am of the Bible. Yes, he is. Well, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. I am. Any English teachers in here? Anyone? Where? None? Yay, one. I am is the present. The present tense. God is the God. He says, I am Jehovah. I am the God of the here and the now. I never change. I'm not improving. I am not evolving. I have always known everything, always been all-powerful. I'm the God of the eternal now. Listen to me, beloved. God is not trapped in time like you and I. We're trapped in time, not God. Look, see that? See, I have to have time. Time is our teaching tool. It's a prop that God uses to teach. I have to understand it. I just can't live without time in my limited flesh. Someday I'll be able to understand it. See, I've got to understand that first I was lost and then I got saved. I've got to have time. I've got to understand that first there was Adam, and he blew it, and then there was Abraham, and you know, and then there was Moses, and then Jesus, and now me. And soon Jesus again. I've got to have time, or I just don't comprehend. I cannot learn. But God doesn't have time. He doesn't live in time. It's a big deal when you wake up tomorrow. You've never been there. God will be waiting on you. He will be waiting on you. It's always the eternal now to God. And so God says, I am the God of the now. That's what I need. Listen to me. I don't need a God that used to do great, wonderful things and got tired. I'm alive today. See, I need one that will be here now. Oh, yes, I know he was there then, but see, then was now to them. And I'm going to be ugly and bolder. I don't need a God of the future. You see, when the future gets here, it'll be now for me then, and he'll be there now. And so if I just trust him one moment at a time, it's always now. And he says, listen, I'm not the God of the past that wore out. Nor am I changing so that I'm improving. So how many of you have ever been taught, hey, they didn't say this, but did you ever think this? Come on now, don't raise your hand, but almost, didn't we almost get taught that, you know, or that the God in the Old Testament was wicked and mean and stomped everybody, but then the New Testament came and we got rid of him. He repented. Straightened up his act. And now we've got some new God going, beloved, listen. Go back and read Jeremiah again. Go back and read it again. The God that created the universe is pleading, begging people, don't make me do it. I don't want to do it. But I am holy and righteous and just. I have no alternative if you don't repent. I understand that. I've done that with my kids. You have too. Hun, don't make Daddy do it. Daddy's going to do it, but I don't want to do it. I understand God. That's one reason why he gave us kids, to help us understand. He wasn't kidding when he said he was Father. And so, beloved, he comes along and says, Moses, you tell him I am, the unchanging I am. Is God. In fact, shall I say it this, he put a double positive on it. Oh, by the way, Moses, I am that I am. Well, you say, well, that's nice, Floyd, but what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you need? What do you need out of God? What do you want out of God? What do you need? I need love. Good. God says, I am. He didn't say he had love. Listen to me. God doesn't have love. He is love. Great. If God only had love, he'd have to create somebody to love. But God didn't have to create anybody. He did it because he wanted to. God didn't have to do anything. If your God has needs, he's in trouble.
Amen.
How many of you come from churches? Don't raise your hand. And they say, oh, God needs your hands and feet. If God needs me, let him worship me a while. I mean that. That's tough, and it needs to be. I worship him because I need him. If he needs, he isn't God anymore. No, God lets us get into the act. God gives us the enjoyment of telling other people.
Amen.
He knows what that'll do for us. Listen, God doesn't have ego problems. God doesn't need worship. God knows what worship does for us. I sit before God and I begin to hallow His name. He said, what do you mean? I begin to say back to Him what He's already said about Himself. God, you're wonderful. He already told me that in the Bible. He says, I am fantastic and my mercy endures forever. I said, oh God, your mercy endures forever. You hadn't stomped me and X'd me out yet. I sinned against you yesterday and you didn't throw a lightning bolt down. Man, you're patient. I'm hallowing His name. I'm confessing back to Him what He said. God, you're the only God there is. He said, yeah, you're hallowing me. And as a result, when I get off my knees after being with Him like that, or maybe I've just been driving down the road telling Him weird stuff like that, the change isn't in God, it's in me. And God knows it. He has no ego problems. And so, beloved, Jesus Christ comes and He says, what do you need? I need love. I am love. I'm the very fountain of love. What do you need? Well, I need patience. I am. I'm the source of patience. And I'm living in you when you've been born again. You don't have to say, oh, God, give me more patience. It's here. It's in you. It's in the Holy Spirit. What we need to do is surrender self to the Holy Spirit, and the patience just flows out. You can't work up that kind of patience. You can't work up enough patience for what you need. The Bible is not, listen, Christianity isn't you working it up. God already put it in. Christianity is, I yield and surrender that. God, I give up. I'm tired of fighting you. You're right. You're right. The reason I don't have patience with that woman is I despise her. And that's sin. You love her and I despise her. Therefore, we're in disagreement. And I know you're not wrong, God. It must be me. But we don't want to think that. And so that's why nothing happens. That's why we don't have patience. We don't want to see those people in hell. And so Jesus, whatever you need, I am. I need wisdom. I am. I need an understanding heart. I am the very fountain of understanding. And so Jesus comes and says, I am. See, he comes along. See, David said, I am is my shepherd. Jesus comes along and says, that applies to me. I am the good shepherd. He did not say, I am a good shepherd. Oh, what a difference in the word in the and a. Hey, I walk in here tonight and I tell you the eyes this. Hi, I'm a teacher. Well, that's true. But if I come in this room and I say, I am the teacher, ooh, you guys have got a decision to make. And actually, it's no decision if you've read the Bible. The Scripture says, you look around and say, well, I don't see all the clouds and the angels and the saints coming with you. And so you would know immediately that I'm not the one. And so there's a difference, there's a tremendous difference in being a teacher and being the. Jesus says, I've not come to tell you about the shepherd of Israel. I am Emmanuel in the flesh. I am Jehovah, the shepherd of Israel. And I'm here to call you guys by name. To come to the flock. Now, beloved, if all that I've taught you up till now is true, and it is. And that is that Jesus is the good shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep and because he knows them by name. If that's true, what does that make us? Sheep. Oh, Lord, if only you hadn't said that of all the animals. Lord, in the Bible, at least you praise the ants. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. But there's, you can't find one bit of praise for sheep in the Bible. Sheep are they're the most perverse, stubborn, rebellious of all livestock. Sheep are absolutely incapable of leadership. There is no such thing as a sheep that leads. Every now and then a sheep out in the flock thinks he can do it. And he'll get off, maybe a snowstorm's coming. So this one sheep, everybody's sitting around wondering what to do, And this one sheep, he'll start bleeding real big and everything. He'll go charging off and everybody says, there's our Savior. And they'll follow him right off and he'll run right into a box canyon, right up against a stone wall, and he'll bleat and bleat and bleat, and next day they're all frozen to death. Have you ever seen any of you farm people here? Take a goat and some sheep and let them get lost. Guess who comes back home the next day? The goats. Guess who you never see again? The sheep. They're absolutely helpless and they're totally dependent animals. In fact, the first animal ever mentioned in the Bible by name was a sheep, and he had a shepherd named Abel. And beloved, the Bible clearly teaches that that's the way we are, totally unable to care for ourselves. It's up to the shepherd to provide all our protection and all our need. And that we need constant care and supervision. And a sheep is either in the Bible. I challenge you. I've gotten that concordance and I have checked every single reference. I was a scientist once, and that's just the way scientists do things. I checked every reference. And you will never find in the Bible a single case of a sheep that was not either under a shepherd's care or he was lost out there wandering around somewhere in the sheep in the fields somewhere. He was either under a shepherd's care or he was lost and wandering. He was never fending for himself successfully. Now, beloved, that's how we are. And the trouble is, we just don't believe that about ourselves. We have a tendency in our pride and our arrogance to think, surely there's some shepherd in me. There's a little shepherd in me somewhere. My wool is different from yours. I can do my own thing. And God says, yeah, that's what you guys have been doing. All we like sheep, Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. In other words, the problem is we've all tried to do our own thing. And until we see that what I've just said is true about us, we live a lie. We're blind, we're frustrated, we're defeated, because what we're saying is, I don't need constant supervision. Or even worse, the devil gave you this one. Quit bothering God with all your problems. He's so busy keeping Saturn and Jupiter from running into each other. And you're down there, you know. Now, if you ever get a big problem, take that one to God. But quit bugging God with all those. That is the sin of limiting God. See, God can keep the whole universe going, all the molecules and all the atoms and mesons and antimatter going, and still have time for every single need. There's a splinter in my finger, Lord, and I can't get that thing out. And it hurts. Isn't that what you did with your daddy on earth? Remember when you crawled up in his lap? Dada. And so, beloved, the big problem is we think there's a little shepherd in us, and that's a sin of pride. Now, the victory in this comes. Let me show you where the victory comes in this. The victory comes when we let him play shepherd and we just play sheep. That's so easy. And what has to happen is, God, I abdicate the throne and take my place down here. That's called getting self off the throne. And that's the problem. When we try to be the shepherd, the sole director of our life's activities, I have the right. See, Americans are the most rebellious of all Christians all over the planet. You know why? We're independent. We whooped the British. That's whooped. You want to know what we did when we fought England? We sinned against Almighty God. We rebelled. All rebellion is sin. And the British have never forgiven us. You want to know how to bring Britain to their knees? The President of the United States would go over there and say, we sinned against you before Almighty God, and I've come to ask you to forgive us. The British would not know what to do with that. We Texicans rebelled against the Mexicans. And we were wrong. You say, but they were honest. You want to know what? Hey, you say, well, Floyd, what should we have done? Do you believe the Bible? Weren't our founding fathers supposed to be Christians at least? They should have fallen their faces before God. And says, oh God, look at these people. They're mistreating us. God would have sent us Moses instead of George Washington. What happened in that war? Hundreds of sons and husbands got killed. Read the Bible. Nobody got killed when Moses let them out. All rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Texas should have prayed. If this country believed that, we wouldn't have to be strong. We would be strong.
Amen.
God would fight our fights. And so, beloved, God wants us to let him take his place as our all-providing shepherd, and let us take our place as dependent sheep. But Americans aren't taught that. But you see, that's wrong. That's wrong. The whole of it's wrong. We're supposed to be humble people. We're supposed to be submissive people. You want to know who the greatest is? Well, the Bible said, the one that wants to be servant of all.
That's right.
And is servant of all. Boy, that's anti-American. And so, beloved, shepherds naturally go after lost sheep. That's just the way shepherds are. If you don't feel like that about sheep, you just aren't going to make it as a shepherd. You're going to give up and try another job. And that's the way he is. That is the nature of our shepherd, Jesus. Jesus doesn't love us for straying. He doesn't love us for rebellion. But it's just the way he is. Now, these next statements are going to be the most important things I can tell you tonight. These are hard sayings I'm about to say. Who can receive them? Jesus doesn't love us for being rebels. Jesus loves us, hear this, because that is just the way he is. And you can't exegete that. I just proclaim it. Jesus loves us because, and you can rest in that if you can believe it. You cannot earn the love of God. It's free. And if you can't earn it, then you can't lose it. Did you not read Romans 5 when he said God has demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? Do you think he loves you less now that you're a member of the family? But when you were his enemy, now what more could I do for you than die for you? And now here's my worst enemy. This John has just done it me in. He's gypped me, cheated me, swindled me. He's tried to go off with my daughter. He's a... what a rascal. And I give my life for him when he's my worst enemy. Now all of a sudden he marries into the family, becomes my son, gives me grandchildren. God gives me grandchildren through him. Now do you think I'm going to love him less? He's in the family, but it's even more in this family. And so, beloved, if you did nothing to make God start loving you, then how can you do something to make God stop loving you? God loves even lost people. We were all lost once.
Yes, Lord.
God loves me in this room tonight, beloved, not because of me or my works or who I am or my Bible teaching, but because that's just the way He is.
Amen.
That is the way God is. I proclaim it. Listen to me. You're in here tonight and you've all got problems. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have problems. If you don't have them tonight, you'll have some before this week's over. That is the nature of this life. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but don't get depressed. Cheer up. I've overcome it. Now listen to me. You've always wanted, every one of you, someone that would love you for you. Hey, aren't you tired of having to try to perform for the preacher? Dear Lord, set us free from that. Aren't you sick and tired of having to put on the dog for the church? Aren't you sick and tired of having to put on for your parents? I mean, haven't you ever wanted to see? We wear masks. We're so afraid that they won't love us if they really know what we're like. And so we're dishonest. We're actors. All our life, everyone in this room has wanted someone that would love me even when my performance was lousy, when I had bad breath and my feet stink. See, I could tell my parents loved me when I made all A's, but what about when I busted a test? All our lives, we've wanted someone that would love us unconditionally, even when your performance stinks. And when it comes to being a Christian, walking in the Spirit, my times walking in the Spirit really don't outweigh my times not walking in the Spirit. Now, that may sound like a negative confession to some of y'all, but baby, anything else is a lie.
That's right.
I praise God that I'm walking in the Spirit more as I grow. So I'm not defeated on it. But let me tell you, this is what you've always wanted. Someone that would love you anyway. And that's what I am says. I love you because that's the way I am. You see, Christianity isn't focused on people, it's focused on Jesus. You start focusing on you and you'll find defeat in your life all the time. Because you're nothing but, what are we? You can say it with me. Mud balls. Hallelujah. Now, I'm in there with you. And so, beloved, our shepherd so loved us. The shepherd so loved the sheep that he became a sheep for us. Listen to me. Not so that he would understand. Oh, let me put that bad teaching down. Jesus didn't become one of us so that he could understand us. He's God. And with discernment, he knows everything and always has. And he didn't have to become a man to help understand our problems. No. One of the reasons, not the only one. Preacher, there's so many good reasons why Jesus became a man and came for us. There's so many reasons. But one of them is so that when you pray, since he has become a man, it would help you to increase your faith that you would believe he understands. That makes sense. But he didn't become a man so that he could understand us better. Now, there's a lot of reasons. He came to die. You know that. But I'm just telling you other things about it. And so, beloved, our shepherd comes to us and becomes a sheep, and he slips into the sheepfold as one of the sheep, called the Lamb of God. And in doing so, he himself stepped down from his eternal Godhead, remained God, but became flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones, and became a man, absolutely dependent on Father. Said, Father, your will, not mine. As a perfect example of us to sheep. And so, beloved, he knows what it's like to be a needy sheep. He knows. And as a sheep, Jesus comes and takes my place and your place. And as a sheep, me, the rebel that should have died, our sheep shepherd comes for us. He comes after the sheep that went astray and took my place and died, and then he rose. And as he said, he laid down his life. And one day at a watering hole, he walked right up to me and called me by name and said, come on, you know the truth. Come on, follow me. Be one of my sheep. Join my flock. Come to my family. And let me be your shepherd. Let me be everything for you. I am the good shepherd. I am. And he sealed it and purchased me with his blood. And I heard his voice. And beloved, now forever, my shepherd has a problem on his hands. Me and you. Those of you that have been born again, he's got a problem with his hands. He now lives to care for us. He lives to save us. Parting shot. That's what PS stands for. Parting shot. If I'm right in what I have proclaimed to you tonight, then the Bible should substantiate it. Let's see if the people got the point when he preached that he was the good shepherd. I talked to people all over the time. I gave this message in Houston about 6 weeks ago, and a man came up to me afterwards and says, I can tell you love the Lord, but you're wrong. No. And he got angry and screamed. Jesus, you've made him to be something he was never. You've made him out to be absolute God. And he was only a man. He was in a little cult. Now, let's see. Now, that boy, when he heard this lesson, he couldn't see that Jesus was claiming deity. Now, let's see if these lost Jews that were present got the point. Now, I didn't say whether they got converted. Did they understand what he claimed? Quickly, back to John 10 as we finish. Verse 26. Jesus speaking, he says, but you believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. How do we hear his voice? By the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's many ways you can hear God's voice. You can hear his voice as you read Scripture. You ever have a verse leap out of the page at you? I mean, you've read that same verse 20 other times. It never leapt out before. Have you ever memorized one and all of a sudden you read it again and one word you never saw and you had to close your eyes and say it again to see if you'd memorize it right, and you had, but you never saw that word. And it was never important until all of a sudden you needed it. Maybe you had a vision. Maybe you had a supernatural dream from God. But let me say this. It's no more spiritual to get it out of God's Word than it is to have a vision or a dream or tongues and interpretation. I'll take a message from God any way I can get it. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You see, that boy, he wasn't God's sheep. He couldn't hear that message. If you heard it tonight, that's a good sign that you're a sheep. I know them. Hey, is that exciting to you? I don't know about you. Listen, I'm corny. I backflip on that one. God knows me. Isaiah 49 says, verse 16, my name is written right on the palm of his hand. And since God is no respecter of persons, yours is too. You see, God hadn't written it down there because I'm a Bible teacher. Okay? They follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. May I be bold with you and take the chance of being misunderstood and yet hope that you can hear it? Beloved, my wife and I are one, but we're not one like that. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 9, Philip came up and said, "Now, Jesus, look, just show us the Father, we'll be happy." Jesus said, Philip, have you been with me this long and you still don't know who I am? You hadn't figured this out yet, Philip? You don't remember Isaiah 9:6 that says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful, Counselor." Remember those? He was the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. What was that last one? The Everlasting Father. The child that came was the Father. But don't get into oneness error. Eternally, they are all one spirit. Eternally, they are one. My wife and I are one, but I can't say when you've seen me, you've seen my wife. You don't even know. You have no idea what she's like. Might have married the finest Christian woman that ever walked the planet. Or might have married someone like John Wesley. Worst woman that ever walked the planet. You Methodists in here, you didn't read that? Poor old John B. preaching, she'd ride right up in the middle of service and say, "He beats me, he lies, he cusses." And she'd just chew him out and berate him, poor old John. That's what he got for unequally yoking himself. And despite the fact that God had told him not to marry a lost woman, he married a lost woman. That was hard for John. Whew, that was a cross. I and my Father are one, and they really are. They really are one. Listen to me. When a Bible teacher dares to tell you the truth, everybody says he's off in united oneness. The average Christian sees God the Father up here, Jesus the Son here, and the Holy Spirit down there on the floor like green mist. That is heresy. It is the doctrine of three gods. We are monotheist. We are not polytheist. There is an eternal God named Jehovah. Jehovah God is a spirit, and they are all Jehovah. If you don't believe that, I invite you to read Isaiah 43, 44, and 45, where it says, "I'm Jehovah. There is no other God. I know of no other God but me. There is none beside me." Well, if Jesus is God, then he's got to be Jehovah also. But there's a Father. Hallelujah. I'm not an orphan. I was one once. Now let's finish it. Now, I and my Father are one. Now let's see. What did the Jews think? Did they get the message? I mean, there's liberal theologians around today that says, "We read these stories and we can't see that Jesus claimed to be deity." Well, let's see if the audience back in Jesus' day was not that dumb. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered and said, "Many good works have I shown you from my Father." That shows he had a father. "Which of you, these good works do you stone me?" The Jews answered, saying, "For good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. Because you, making yourself man, because you, being a man, have made yourself out to be God." Yes, beloved, they got the point, and I hope you did tonight. And so, beloved, we follow him. We follow him. The Bible is a story of a shepherd and sheep. We follow him, not a denomination. And if you are, you're sinning. Repent and follow Jesus. You don't have to leave the denomination. Get the denomination out of you, then you can stay there.
Amen.
We follow him, not a set of rules. He leads. He never drives. It's a personal relationship. We are not beaten into subjection. Shepherds don't beat sheep with rods. And we do it, hear me, because we want to. Christians, why do you follow God? If it isn't because you want to, you're just as wrong as you can be. Hear me. Why don't I commit adultery tonight? I could. My wife's in Houston. All I got to do is wait late enough and hop down to New Orleans. In fact, I dare say you don't have to go to New Orleans. Now, you hear this. This is a point. Why I don't, let me tell you why I don't. I don't want to. How about that? I can. It's physically possible. But I don't want to. I used to want to. But you see, suddenly Jesus made everything that I've told you tonight so real inside me that I want to follow Him. Being right with God is not having to do something. It's wanting to. If you don't commit adultery this week because you'd like to, but you're afraid you'll get caught, your wife will find out, take you to court, wipe you out, take the house, the car. You're wrong. You're wrong already. If you don't, preacher, because, you know, you and I don't, because we're afraid the flock will find out and they'll pull our buttons off and defrock us. See, in our hearts, we're already wrong. Hey, why don't you cheat on your taxes? Why don't you pad your expense account? Well, I'm afraid I'll get caught and put in jail. Then you're a sinner and you're wrong. I don't do it because I really don't want to anymore. I used to. I can remember back in the old days when I not only wanted to, I did it. Being right with God is you've heard His voice. He's called you by name. And you want to follow Him, whether the denomination follows Him or not.
Amen.
God bless you. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Let me dismiss you with a word of prayer, and let me just remind you, I am. Whatever you need, go to Him with your whole heart. Your whole heart. It's that easy. Christianity is so easy, you can't miss. Would you pray with me? Lord God, Father, we just give You glory and praise. Father, we thank You for allowing Jesus to come for us. Lord Jesus, we praise You. We worship You. We thank You for being our shepherd. We thank You for being the sole director of our life's activities. Now, Father, it's time for us to fess up and repent. We have not wanted You to be the sole director of our life's activities. Tonight, for the first time, some of us have seen how independent we want to be. We read Your word that says You want this and this for our lives. And we say, but I want this and this. And so what we're doing is we're telling the shepherd that as a sheep we can guide ourselves. Thank You for showing us that tonight, Father. Thank You for Your patience in dealing with us and for bringing us here tonight to show us the truth about ourselves. Lord, for everyone in this room that will come to You with a true heart tonight, bless them, honor them, meet them where they are, and deliver them. Father, for those that won't, give them the grace to repent. In Jesus' name, amen.